Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. great, great days when he was first among us. And what we all felt most deeply was the sense of family that Srila Prabhupada brought us into and made us almost like his children. You must remember we didn't have any idea even what Krishna looked like in those days. There were no photographs, there were no pictures of Krishna, there were no books. Prabhupada mentioned, talked about Bhagavad Gita, but we didn't have a copy to read. We scarcely knew anything about this country called India, this mystic place in our minds where swamis crawled up ropes and charmed snakes out of baskets, things like that. We knew it was kind of a magic place that we'd heard about, but here was a person from India. None of us had ever met a person from India. Basically, there were no people from India in the United States in those days. What we had when we met Srila Prabhupada was a person. The most beautiful, gorgeous person that we'd ever seen in our lives. Basically, to start with his physical beauty. Srila Prabhupada was gorgeous in every aspect of his physical body, every one of his mannerisms. Everything he said was so perfect and so charming. This is what we started with. Srila Prabhupada's person, his personality, his beauty, his physical beauty, his charm. We didn't have books. And he seemed to, when he did open his mouth, even get the things he said, everything he said to us answered every question we had. There was nothing you could ask Srila Prabhupada that he couldn't answer. Nothing. We began to feel, this is what they mean when they say a perfect person. His sense of humor grabbed us all as well, because despite the seriousness of going back to Godhead and finding out the absolute truth, Srila Prabhupada made it always light and humorous, full of fun. Malati and I were, in those days, we were going back to late 66. We were on the West Coast, so, but we knew Janaki, and we knew her boyfriend, Michael Grant, from Oregon. And they had both gone back to New York. Michael was a jazz musician. He took his girlfriend, Jan, with him to New York. And we didn't hear from them for some months. We had heard some rumor they had met some swami or something, but it wasn't. At the same time, we were all, Malati and I were looking for something like a spiritual master, or something to answer all the questions that the drugs and the life we were living failed to answer. So we were wondering what they were doing back there, and maybe Janaki and Jamila can speak a little bit about their first impressions, first time with Prabhupada back in New York, and what they, some vignettes or some stories about Srila Prabhupada in the very early times, 1966.
Hare Krishna. So, Mukunda, then known as Michael Grant, and I were living on the Bowery in New York City, which is the Lower East Side of New York. It's where the transient people live, and we often had to climb over drunken or dead bodies to get into our loft. And so it was rent control, and so it was like $40 a month, and that's where we lived, and it was very different inside than it was outside. We had probably 27 different musical instruments, because that's what Mukunda made his living doing, was playing music. And so he was in the jazz scene, and I was taking along, and we were doing microbiotics and trying different kinds of ways to heighten our consciousness, and decided it was time to go to India. So we went to get a passport, which we did, and we got our visa, which we did, and we were ready to go to India. But first, something extraordinary was going to happen in our lives, and that was one day Mukunda came home and said, "You know, I met the most interesting fellow that's down the street. He's just down one building, and he's an old man from India. And I think that you should meet him. You know, Barry, old man." So he said, "He's giving a class 3 times a week, and I'm going to go to the class. He's going to do it Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays. And he's going to teach a Sanskrit class as well. So he's going to teach us how to write and read the language." And so that gave him a bit more credibility in my eyes, but still I thought, yeah, he's a little leery. So we kind of went to go to the class, and he came home and he was somewhat breathless. And breathless in a very sincere way. Not as though he had met some star, but as though something had awakened in his soul. It was a very profound reaction from Mukunda, and I thought, well, I better check this out. So indeed I did. I walked in, and first of all, you had to walk into Prabhupada's building. You had to climb 3 stories of a darkened hallway because there were no lights. And you get to a door of a loft, and you open up the front door, and the first thing I hear is an almost unintelligible voice talking into a very funky little microphone system. And it's Prabhupada. And I look at the other end of this room, this loft, and I see an old man sitting under a bare naked light bulb, and he is reading out of a book, and I can't understand a word he is saying. It's very foreign to me, and it's very upset, and I don't know what to do with it. But then he decides to sing, and so he leads a